Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 28. I desire that we read first 10 verses with the help of the Lord. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. This is the passage, the part of this chapter 28 that I desire to read today. And before we proceed with our second reading, let us kneel down to pray to our Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we are now gathered around Thy holy word, Thou, O Lord God, be present in our midst. Thou open our hearts and minds. Thou also, Heavenly Father, open this abundant treasure of the heavenly gifts. And Thou, O Lord, fill us with Thy presence and fill our pilgrimage with Thy guidance. Illuminate our mind with Thy instruction, O Lord, and Thou unite our hearts and mind in the spirit of truth and faithfulness, the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou teach us to pray, and Thou inspire us to praise Thee for that great goodness and mercy of Thine, Thy goodness and Thy mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we desire to thank Thee, O Lord. We desire to praise Thee, our Heavenly Father. We desire to worship Thee, and in everything, O Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to worship Thee with love and gratitude, to worship Thee with reverence and godly respect that is due to Thy holy name. May our soul ever magnify Thy goodness and grace, and all that is in us praise Thee for Thy loving kindnesses, for Thy wonderful work of our salvation. Salvation in Christ, salvation by grace, and yet, O Lord, salvation by the perfect obedience of Him, the only one in whom Thou art perfectly pleased. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords, with all the saints in the heavenly heights, with all the lowly ones, all those that thou hast redeemed, still journeying through this valley of the shadow of death, we also desire to worship thee in an endless worship, in a glorious, endless glorification of thy holy name. For, O Lord God Almighty, in Christ thou hast opened the heavenly portals, in Christ thou hast opened the grave, to reveal to thy children, O Lord, that through death leads the path to everlasting life. Thou hast revealed to us, O Heavenly Father, that through his dying he has opened the way into everlasting life, that by his death he has overcome death, and in his short pilgrimage through this valley of the shadow of death, he has revealed that perfect example of perfect faithfulness, a zeal that was never diminished, and even facing that awful sacrifice for our redemption, he obediently, faithfully, even lovingly, O Lord God Almighty, says, thy will be done. So we pray, O Heavenly Father, that in our pilgrimage our steps may be directed in his footprints, that we may yield wholeheartedly to that invitation which thou hast given to the mankind through the preaching and the trustworthy testimony of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. That we may also, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in complete self-denial, pick up the burden of our cross, counting that for a high privilege and an honor that we are not worthy of, to be fellow sufferers with the greatest sufferer of all times, our crucified and risen Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we desire to worship thee in everything that we do upon the face of this earth in the name of the Savior. And thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, help us in everything. For in thee is all the strength and wisdom, in thee is all the goodness and grace. Oh, that wonderful and glorious grace that has opened the heavenly portals even for our weak souls. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, words fail us to praise thee in the likeness of that glorious praise that thou art receiving in that heavenly kingdom, to praise thee as those that were experiencing persecution, rejection, hatred, and death, death of a martyr, were worshipping thee and witnessing to the truth of the fact that our gracious Redeemer is standing up in the heavenly heights waiting for those that are coming following him. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we see that glorious and wonderful salvation that thou hast so graciously, so generously granted to all that believed, that salvation has been merited by that perfect obedience, perfect fulfillment of the law that no one ever before nor after has fulfilled. The law of perfect obedience to thy will, the law of everlasting love and mercy and compassion for the sinners that are seeking salvation in God's grace. O Lord God Almighty, how great is thy goodness and mercy, how great is thy faithfulness. Holy Father, we pray that thou sanctify us and make us holy in Christ. Grant us his righteousness. Gracious Lord, thou grant us that purity of Christ, Thou grant us that zeal of Thy beloved Son, and Thou, Lord God Almighty, in the wondrous power of Thy grace, make us a voice of Thy truth, a ray of Thy light, an image of Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as we read about this glorious resurrection, Thou help us to see also how meek and humble it was. The people did watch the crucified Savior on the cross, and yet no one saw Him. No human eyes could see the glory of His resurrection. So, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou grant us eyes of faith, that we be like Thy true and faithful disciples, who, seeing the Savior resurrected, we also may renew the joy of Thy salvation in our hearts, and that glorious and bright revelation of the victorious King of Kings, bringing victory over sin and death, that joy of Thy salvation may be also resurrected and renewed in our hearts, and our minds illuminated by that wonderful revelation of Thine, that someday, O Lord God Almighty, may our souls ever long for that moment and that glorious day. Thou wilt open the graves, Thou wilt resurrect all those that did believe in Thy death and resurrection, that did follow Thee even unto death, even through death, that they might join Thee in that life everlasting. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we see that our offering of thanksgiving and praise is very poor, very limited, not worthy to be compared with the praises, with the worship, with the rejoicing of the heavenly beings, and yet Thou didst deserve to receive honor, worship, and praise even from the weak and small, Thy children, whom Thou hast redeemed from death everlasting. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou take us onward, Thou lead us and teach us, Thou make us faithful, obedient and zealous followers of this blessed teaching and witnesses, heralds of that great day of judgment and witnesses of this glorious truth that still the day of grace is going on. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, glory and honor belong to Thee, and we pray, O Lord God Almighty, that Thy blessings may be outpoured upon every soul that Thou hast redeemed, and especially those that are struggling against sin, that are, O Lord God Almighty, gathering all of their strength and trusting in Thy holy name, fleeing from that awful death, that everlasting, that has been our portion, and it would have been still our portion if Thou didst not suffer for us. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, watch over Thy children and protect us. Lead us and teach us, fill us and use us, and make us Thine own, united with Thee this short pilgrimage, and much more, united with Thee in that endless eternity, in an endless, everlasting worship and praise of Thy glorious and majestic name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory and honor belong to Thee forever. Amen. Dearly beloved, in our second reading, I desire that we read from Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. Let us start our reading on the verse number 19, to read to the end of this chapter with the help of our Lord. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said to his disciples that those that believe in him will do even greater miracles than those that he did. And yet, that being true, and the fact that the miracles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the ministry of his disciples did spread far and wide, not only in Judea, Galilee, and just very small parts of Samaria, but through many parts of that, at that time, great empire of Rome. Yet we don't find, at least in my great inability, I don't find anyone in the scripture talking, even by the Spirit of the Lord, saying so much in just a few words. It was so obvious, so beyond any denial, that the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is God himself. Now, as we look through these verses that I selected for today's reading about the resurrection of our Lord, we are actually seeing only a small part of everything that happened that Sabbath day. Because really, with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a new Sabbath day is revealed to all those that believe, not necessarily any calendar day, even though it seems to be significant that the believers after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ seem to have been together every first day of the week. But with the Lord's resurrection, a glorious day, a day of grace, a day of salvation in Christ was proclaimed to all the generations to come and to all the nations, languages and tribes, to each individual that wants to believe and to seek that salvation in the merit of the Redeemer. So we read here that in the end of the Sabbath, which was the last Passover before it was fulfilled, or the last Passover feast that really was the only one truly fulfilled in the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, some of the believers, some of the women that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the sepulchre. They came to honor the remains of someone whom they believed was a great prophet and did great miracles and proclaimed the word of God in such a way as no one ever did before. But now they come to revere, to give honor to his remains. And there, that last night before the resurrection, the tomb is sealed. And the rock, the big stone, is sealed at the entry of the tomb. No one may touch that. It's sealed by the authority of the governor, Pilate, but really in the name of the emperor. And the soldiers keep watch by the tomb that no one may come nor do anything to change what has been the decision of the priests and the leaders in Jerusalem. Perhaps it was a boring night for the soldiers. Perhaps it was a fearful night. Because the centurion said, when he saw in what way our Lord died on the cross, the centurion said, "Indeed, this was a righteous man. Truly, this is the Son of God." What could have happened, or what could have the soldiers expected to happen to them that night? We have no record of that. But really, after all that happened that Friday, before this Sunday morning, they might have been in fear, the soldiers. But what is so interesting about these women, they know that no one may touch the grave, no one may open and roll away that stone, and that the soldiers are there, and yet these women are going to the sepulchre. They're going. They worry about that. Well, they worry, and yet they trust. We listen today in that chapter of faith from the Epistle of Hebrew this morning. And we heard that by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hid by his parents 3 months. And they did not fear the commandment of the king. If they did not fear the commandment of the king, why would have they be hiding the little child? They did fear. Of course they did fear. That commandment was cruel, awful commandment, taking the children away from the parents and killing the children. It was an awful, cruel thing. And every parent among the Israelites must have feared that. Yet, this couple, the parents of Moses, did not allow that fear to prevail in their heart, in their mind, in their actions. They acted contrary to the commandment of the king. So we see that they did that by faith. Well, here we might think also that these women are doing this by faith. They know that the soldiers are there. They know that the tomb is sealed. They know that they, the women, cannot do anything in their own strength. But they are still going. Perhaps the Lord will do something. Perhaps God will take care. Surely He will. So the soldiers are there, and at one moment the earth is shaking again. Well, earthquakes are quite frightening to the mankind, and really, how helpless a human being feels when everything is shaking and no one knows what is going to start falling down or what is going to crumble next around us or right on top of us. But now the earth is shaking. What a wonderful earthquake. All the enemies of the Lord are frightened. All women must have been scared and trembling, but they believed that God is God. And indeed, truly, it was confirmed here. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came to the sepulchre. What was the duty of the soldiers? To stop him in the name of the emperor. Well, emperor was nothing. When only one angel of the true King of Heaven appeared, that angel came straight to the sepulchre and just touched that stone, and the stone rolled away, and the tomb is open. We remember there was a case when Peter the apostle was in prison, and the church in Jerusalem was praying unceasingly for Peter. And there was a moment when an angel came. No, the earth did not shake that time. It was very quiet. And the soldiers that kept guard, one on each side of Peter. Peter was shackled in chains. And the angel came and just touched Peter, and Peter woke up, but he thought it was just another dream. It was amazing and wonderful that a Christian brother could be so peaceful and so much trusting in the Lord that facing his soon execution, he would just peacefully sleep, even being chained. And when the angels touched Peter, the chains fell off, but the soldiers were sleeping. They didn't move. So the angel led Peter out of the prison, all the doors of the prison obediently open and close afterward. And soon the soldiers are watching the closed doors, and no one was behind the doors. Now what happened to those soldiers? Obviously they died. they were put to death because they didn't keep their prisoner. But it is just amazing what happened if they, the soldiers that were one on each side of Peter, woke up and saw the chains and Peter was not there. What did they say? How did that happen? They couldn't say anything. But the fact that they slept was sufficient to condemn them to die. It was an awful thing, a very dangerous thing, to be a guard of a Christian prisoners in those days. They never knew what could happen next. But here we see that the soldiers see the angel, and the angel was such a shocking appearance. His face, his countenance, his appearance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. Something that I don't think I can even imagine. The shock was so strong that at the first moment the soldiers were shaking. They could not control their own body. And next moment they were paralyzed, like dead men. The angel apparently did not waste any time to talk to the soldiers. He turned to the women and said, "Fear not ye." It seemed that it was all right for the soldiers to be in fear, but the angel encouraged the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Ye are not here to assure that a dead body remain in the tomb. Ye are here to honor that Jesus which was crucified." And then the angels revealed that the tomb is empty. The soldiers were keeping watch beside an empty tomb. They wanted to secure that the body of Jesus of Nazareth remain in the tomb, and yet they knew nothing about the resurrection. We see that this angel did not come to lead our Lord and Savior out of the tomb. This angel did not come to remove the body from the tomb. And all the artistic pictures that show a broken tomb and a figure of an unnatural man above the ground, above the tomb, all of that is just imagination of human mind, and nothing is really worthy to be compared with that really happened. No human eyes have seen the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angel, the messenger, came to open the tomb and to reveal to the soldiers that there is no purpose of standing there. They better go away, go home. There is no job for them anymore. But really that angel came to reveal to these women that the tomb is empty and the Lord is risen from the dead. And then the angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre. They had fear, and yet they had great joy. That's what they heard. And what they have seen, it was just beyond anything that they could have imagined that early morning, that last night, as the night was fading away and the new day began, and the women were coming to the sepulchre. They could not even think that something like this will happen. Well, the angel told them, "He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him." And then the angel closed his message. "Lo, behold, I have told you." That's it. Nothing else, nothing more. So they quickly departed. There was a sense of fear and yet a great joy in their hearts. And they did run to bring his disciples this message. Well, will the disciples believe that? The women are running. Perhaps when they were coming to the tomb, they were walking softly, quietly, carefully. Now they are running. But then someone is going to meet them, and someone stopped them in their racing with the time. A man. And then that man greeted them and say, "All hail," and they recognize the voice. It is the Master. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. They quickly bow down and worship him. The feeling, the experience was so great, so enormous, that they touched his feet. And then he said unto them, "Be not afraid." He didn't say, "Do not rejoice." Well, that's all right. The joy should go on. That joy should grow. That joy should become a flood of joy that from their hearts will flow through the streets of Jerusalem and fill with joy all those that will believe from that moment on. So the Lord said, "Be not afraid. Fear not. Go and tell my brethren." What a name for the disciples that just recently fled, ran away, and left him all alone. And yet, he was not alone. "Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." And so, they did go. And they did tell to the disciples. And at the first moment, the disciples could not believe. And that day, starting from the early morning, that first day of the week was filled with activities. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to a number of the disciples in different ways. And some of the disciples ran to the sepulchre to see. And they saw that the sepulchre was vacant. The body was not there, and yet when they looked carefully, the fabric that was wrapped around the body of the Lord was neatly folded and laid down, not as if someone was rushing to steal the body away, but someone who had all the time he needed to finish the task, the assignment that he had. And so they did believe that the Lord is risen. And yet, there were doubts and fears. And there was some confusion. Remember the two disciples, walking to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And a stranger joined them and asked them, what is the reason of their sadness and their worries? And they told them how confusing everything is. How awful was that crucifixion, that condemnation of a righteous prophet of God. And they said, we hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And then the Lord told them, oh fools, why is your heart so slow to believe all that the prophets prophesied to you? Was it not necessary that Christ suffer, and that he, through all that, conquered death and opened the door of salvation? And so they entered into the house. It was already night, and was the time for their supper, and they offered to him hospitality. And as he took bread and blessed and broke the bread, they noticed, oh, those hands that broke the bread that last supper and told them, eat. This is my body broken for you. The hands with the prints of the spikes and the cross. And so they looked, and that instant, that moment, he was revealed to them as the risen Lord. But that moment, he physically vanished away. The night, the darkness did not keep them from running quickly back to Jerusalem, back to the disciples that were still gathered, to tell them, we have seen the Lord, the risen Lord. And so the disciples rejoiced, and yet that joy did not culminate until that evening, that first day of the week, in the evening. They were gathered behind the locked doors. And yet, even though they have not noticed, obviously there is no any evidence that they did hear the doors being opened and closed again. Nothing changed. Came the Lord Jesus and stood in the midst of them and greeted them with peace. Peace unto you. And then he showed to them his hands and then his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And now again, the voice of God, peace unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. See, when the Lord died on the cross, for the disciples it seemed that all is finished. All their hopes are crushed. All their expectations vanished away. All that was left for them was despair. Tragedy. But now, the Lord says, peace unto you. Not a peace of some kind of retirement. No, not a peace of absence of activity. But with this peace, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Proclaim the peace and call everyone to enter into that rest, into that peace. And then, when he had said that, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What happened at this moment? What did really happen this moment? They heard the word of God. That's what happened. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What happened? Some of the people that are hungry for power would think, oh, I wish I was there. It would be so good that I can decide who sins to remit and Simon in Samaria that wanted to buy the power, the ability to actually, I think he wanted to sell the Holy Spirit for money. He first wanted to buy that power, and then, of course, if he can buy it, he can sell it. And he would probably put a high margin, a very high profit on that. But no, It didn't work for Simon. It really didn't work for anyone. The Holy Spirit is not going to be sold for any money that humans can obtain or offer. The whole world has no money. Really, if our Lord and Savior had no place where to lay his head, what would be the money then that could buy or sell the Holy Spirit? So, when the Lord said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, and so on, he revealed a great truth to the disciples, that with that Spirit, that Holy Spirit in them, they are going unmistakably to recognize those who are forgiven by believing the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way? Well, he said that already before, but they did not understand that, apparently, before the Lord's resurrection. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. You see, if anyone experiences, no matter how great influence or action of the Holy Spirit, and turns away back from the Lord, back into sin, that one has no true testimony in himself or herself that he or she is really saved. The one that endures to the end, the one that stays with the Lord to the end, that follows the Lord through life and through death, that one has the testimony of true salvation. Obviously, God is not going to wait to see what the Holy Spirit will tell God about the decisions of his disciples so that God would know what to do. No way, that's impossible. Actually, the Lord God Almighty gave his Spirit to teach, to guide, and to protect the disciples. And if at some moment in their ministry, in their life, the disciples did not carefully listen to the voice of that Holy Spirit, they made some mistakes. It's very clear in the Scripture that they did make some mistakes. And that was when they did not, that happened when they did not listen carefully to this Holy Spirit. And yet, this Holy Spirit was given to prepare the disciples to proclaim that gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that gospel which all those that believe truly and sincerely will find salvation through believing in the name of Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we see that the Lord gave them peace, and he told them to receive the Holy Ghost. And even today, to everyone to whom the Lord Jesus Christ gave that peace, peace of a soul redeemed by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, peace of a heart purged from sin by the blood of Christ, to all them whom the Lord blessed with that peace of redemption, he also says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he also said the words that I speak to you, they are the Spirit and the truth. And that's how we see the difference, that some people read the Scripture and they learn from the Bible as they would have learned from any other book, and there is no Spirit of God. They don't have that godly fear, that reverence, that respect for the Lord. They don't have the obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God for them is just another book. But those that learn the Word of God trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they experience that guidance and that instruction and that protection of the Holy Spirit. And those all desire and labor in that to proclaim this gospel of our Lord and Savior, to proclaim this gospel first by living a godly life and then by deeds, godly deeds, deeds of charity, deeds of Christian duty, and also by proclaiming the message of the gospel, being ready to answer to everyone that asks of the hope that is in us. And then, more than that, to proclaim the gospel in every situation, wherever there is an opportunity, wherever we sense that there might be a heart or a soul that will listen. And so we scatter the seed of life, and some will fall upon the rocky places, some will fall among the thorns, and some in the places where the birds will come and pick them up. And yet, in these last days, very rarely, and still sometimes, some seed will fall on the good ground. That seed will grow and bring forth fruit unto life, life everlasting. So, 1 week later, the Lord appeared again unto the disciples, and again the same greeting, peace unto you. We see that greeting in most of the epistle, peace and grace. Grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace from God the Father. And this time, the Lord had a special message for Thomas. Well, we remember how the Lord prayed in his prayer, Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17, that none of the disciples was lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture be fulfilled. Obviously, Thomas was not another son of perdition, and the Lord did not leave Thomas in his doubts, in his unbelief. But as the Lord appeared among the disciples, again, another first day of the week, the Lord says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. We don't read that Thomas really did that. The words, in all probability, were sufficient for Thomas. Thomas answered and said unto the Lord, my Lord and my God. And then the Lord answered to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, who are those? Obviously, we did not see the Lord in the flesh. Perhaps this blessing is ours. Maybe. Maybe. I hope so. I trust so. And may the Lord multiply those blessings to us and to all those that believe, not seeing him in the flesh. And yet, perhaps this blessing is extended even to those that not even by faith can see the Lord Jesus Christ, as the disciples did see him afterward, when they did not see the Lord in the flesh anymore. In their faith, they did see him in a special way, in the way the angels told about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will come again. And yet, there are sometimes those that are struggling against doubts and fears, against uncertainty, not yet fully believing the Word of God, not being able to take everything in that the message of the Gospel is, still doubts and fears are so strong, and the enemy would not let them easily escape from that yoke of bondage. And they, by faith, cannot see the Lord yet, and yet they still believe, they will not give up. They still keep praying and striving, and we also pray for them that they be blessed also in seeing the Lord, seeing by faith, seeing that victory in their heart, that illumination, that revelation of God in their mind, and experiencing that peace, that they also may fully receive that Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel of the risen Lord, the one that will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, also as the judge above all judges. May the Lord keep us in this holy faith. May He multiply His love in our hearts and His zeal in our daily walk. May He keep us from everything that is not pleasing Him, and may the goodness and grace of His be multiplied, be our comfort and our joy, be our testimony and our ministry. May that goodness and grace of His bring honor and glory to Him. Amen.